Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, or good afternoon. It's about 12:40. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Wednesday, December the 23rd, 2020. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on with me, financial expert Jeff on with me, true patriot to the max, doing recalls on their mayors and other things, Heidi. And I welcome all three of you. And Paul, I'm going to let you take it off and lead us where we're going today.
Thank you, Stu. I want to start off with an assumption that I'm working from and actually have been for almost a couple of years. And that is that we are all part of a live action role play that would be LARP, L-A-R-P, live action role play. And we are to the point with CERN and quantum computers like D-Wave, where it's all about pattern recognition. And this pattern recognition, of course, is huge to them because the war we are in is spiritual and it is against God Almighty, the King of Kings. And what are they doing with this LARP? The artificial superintelligence, I call it AI or AS, or artificial intelligence or artificial superintelligence, is running the script. And right now, all of us are challenged, or at least I am challenged, by the volume of the headlines and the amount of disinformation and the partial truths, which of course are lies. Partial truths really are lies. And the same people responsible for writing the headlines are also responsible for the stories that follow. And one of the biggest things that I struggle with is people want to talk about the headlines. And I have frequently said, why do you believe the headlines? You got to help me understand, why are you believing this headline? And I just want to start off with an example and then defer to you guys. We have this supposed hacking that was so significant that it caused emergency meetings and on and on and on. Now, that headline didn't come from me. It didn't come from you guys. It came from the mainstream media. Then the alternative media picks it up, and all of a sudden it's true. And I have to admit that I'm not buying the official story, and I'm not buying the secondary story. And when we get to the tertiary and quaternary stories, I am still saying conjecture. So, for instance, we got Pompeo saying, well, it's Russia. And then we've got the alternative media saying, well, it's China. And I'm not saying it's not Russia and it's not China. But what I'm saying is people are missing a bigger headline, which is inside job. The United States, USSA, cooperates with China and Russia, and they blow up their own computers if this, in fact, did happen, because we've got traitors everywhere. And so now all of a sudden we're supposed to blame Russia and China and pretend that we don't have traitors anymore. Now you have to start off understanding half of Congress is done, it's gone. We don't have rule of law. So I want to just make one more point. We had a ridiculous, nonsensical charade that we called an election. And the cheating is so obvious, and well, just on the face, it's preposterous, that Joey from Scranton could get 75 million votes. I mean, the guy didn't run a campaign. He couldn't get 100 people to a rally. He's an 80-year-old career kleptocrat. Now, I'm not saying the American people aren't far gone. They are. I mean, we got people wearing masks and so forth. But just the whole idea that we had a fair election. Now, if you don't have a fair election, you don't have rule of law. And then finally, we you know, after hearing President Trump's going to do this, and he's got this dream team, and they're going to do that, and all we got to do is it's going to go through the court and so on. Well, that's all great, except that it's nonsense. It didn't happen. And I've really grown tired of the food around the corner narrative. See, originally, if Trump won, he was going to lock her up. Then he was going to drain the swamp. Then there were all the indictments. And then there were going to be mass arrests. And then there were going to be military tribunals. And on and on. And then the Ukrainian, the Hunter Biden, and then this drip, 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 drip. And now what I will say is, thankfully, because I'm a hardcore skeptic, I was not on board with any of it. And the reason I wasn't on board with any of it is I twice in my life encountered some very curious information. And one was from the Unification Church. The Reverend Sun Yang-moon told his membership way back in the late 70s and early 80s, there would be a black man and he would be president of America. And the people needed to get ready for him because he was going to bring in world peace. And I thought, it didn't surprise me. I listened to it, I followed away because no one else was going to listen to me. And then back in the 90s, Soviet defectors and the Soviets were talking about how they had already created and trained a black president was going to take over America sometime soon. Now, this was the early 90s. Well, you know, eventually this junior senator, community organizer that with no record of any accomplishment, he becomes president. Barry. That's Barry. And what did Barry do? Well, hey, he seemed to do a lot of damage that most people either were oblivious or unaware or unwilling to speak out against because, hey, we've got this failed race relations going here, so we can't talk about Barry. But I just want to conclude by saying, back to the LARP, this is all feeling like a live-action role play to me. It's feeling like artificial superintelligence. It's feeling like the Archons or the Cosmocrators or the Parnassus Pneumachi are running things. I don't know if anyone saw the movie Jason and the Argonauts, but if you saw Jason and the Argonauts, you would understand that you've got a bunch of people moving us around, either on the horse track or on the chessboard. So I have really went wild here on you guys, and I hesitate to even look at how long I've been talking, but what do you guys got, and what do you think of my live-action role-play artificial superintelligence? It's all scripted, and I'm not saying that God is not intervening and messing with the plan, but what I'm saying is that global deep state and the Jesuits, who are really responsible for infiltrating everywhere with the military-industrial intelligence complex, they're all interconnected. We are part of a LARP. I hand it over to you, Joffrey.
Before Jeff gets into this, let me add something, Paul. I've suffered cyber terrorist attacks against my website, folks, for it's been over 7 years that I've been able to identify when I switched over and went to WordPress type software, which about 60-some-odd% of the websites have it. It's free. And you buy an upgrade, etc., for protection. You spend $150, $200 for the upgrades. Then you get some expert that I found, trading him an ad for a year to help me set the baby up. And we put WordFence, it's called. And I bought the professional edition, which shows me bots, real-time, blacklisted humans, etc. So I see people on my website under the human thing, just boom, 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 listed traffic. But 1 million hits a month and 200,000 are bots. They are created bots and attacks by our intelligence and foreign intelligence as well. Now, the one they're seeking happens to be one that I ran, and it was 1.2 point something in a number, and it ran to China. And how I got it was they sent a notice out of these mass attacks that were going on that you're talking about, Paul, that supposedly drained our U.S. intelligence computers, etc. So I ran the number. I ran the number off the software where they put out a blurb, and I clicked on it, and I go in and look what comments were made. Someone ran the number. So I ran the number. DNSlytics.com, where you get the true information. The fucking thing ran to China, and it ran to Israel. Israel. But through China's servers. And I'll be posting the information, because I did it the other day. Spent several hours doing this. Now, we're being attacked from bots. And I've got them closed down, pretty much. They locked me out of my own website. But as an example, it's algorithms, and it's bots, and it's off of government servers, the U.S. government servers. And I've got them closed down. I've had Bluffdale. I've had Cheney Reservation near Cheney Reservoir, they call it, near Wichita, Kansas. We've got New Jersey. I've got New York. I've got San Francisco. I've got Kansas City, Missouri, Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. Division number 5 of the FBI, who I chased down there, took pictures and had 2 federal police on me as I'm turning the corner as he's pulling in the parking lot, secure parking lot behind the building, where I've been being shot by Wholesale Internet and some other names they use out of there. I ran this China thing. It runs to friggin' Israel. They emptied the banks of U.S. secrets, period. I hope all you idiots out here in the FBI and the other agencies hear what I said. I'm going to post the information and prove to you what I just said within a day. Who raided the computers? Now, we have to understand the espionage with inside. The U.S. government's telephone company and internet service is owned by an Israeli private firm. But Israel's hooked up into it with Bluffdale, Utah. And you can listen to a recording I did with Super Spook Otis Johnson that was working for General Flynn before his death, and Flynn gets arrested 2 weeks later. That conversation is about 2012 or 13. It's on the radio bar. Scroll down. Blast from the past. Super Spook Otis Johnson talking about flying into Bluffdale. But the only time I ever recorded him. Only time. Because they had a hit on me and I was trying to find out who the fucker was. Excuse my language. And he had a one on him. General Flynn, I put Super Spook Otis Johnson on the airplane in Grand Island, Nebraska. And he came back and told me 6 floors below ground of artificial intelligence beyond computers. And it's all hooked up in with Israel and Daddy Bush and a private contractor. And they got an alien fallen angel base next to it on the south side. And he says, you're right about that, Stu. He went into it with General Flynn. I said my piece for a moment. Jeff, where are we at?
Wow. Well, it appears it's not a free country sometimes. Isn't that the truth? With what you're going through? I mean, you think we'd have some freedoms to express and view and have opinion, and yet you get dogged and tracked and that kind of crap, so understandable. Paul, back to what I guess what you were addressing earlier too, you know, it does feel a little bit like me that we are in a movie set. Just how things have been, just big picture. Digressing a minute to kind of what you were mentioning. I have wondered, and I can go back to concur, you said some time back, you had zero confidence in the fact that we had a Q movement, we had information that was being fed to the Patriots, and that we were tracking along, and everything was being taken care of by an invisible hand, and we sat back and didn't have to do anything. I said at the time, I think, well, there might be a 10% chance that we've got something here, and this could be something to hang on to. And I guess part of that is I defer to the hope aspect of, hey, maybe there is something going on. But as you pointed out, Stu pointed out, we are the ones we're waiting for. And I couldn't agree more. I think that's kind of how things are. I am hearing about this multi-million dollar congregation that's going to be descending upon D.C., and I'm kind of wondering what everybody's thoughts are on that on the 6th. And is that something that those people attending, I would love to, I guess, to be curious to the understanding of what's going on up there, what they think, what happens, how they're treated. That's a whole can of worms. But anyway, a lot going on, as you guys mentioned. So I'm going to kick it back to you guys and listen in a minute here.
Heidi, you got some thoughts for us?
You know, mine would probably be in the form of questions. I better start with a statement. You know, Professor Paul, I am so grateful for your boldness and what you have shared time and time again. And I need to confess, I got pulled into, you know, the Donald Trump aspect of things, that essentially he was going to be kind of the savior of our nation of sorts. And we know our number one savior is Lord Jesus Christ. But in a human form, I thought, gosh, you know, maybe Donald Trump was going to be the one that was going to save our country. But I always said that with a caution, a sense of caution as well, because I'm not going to give any blanket trust to any one person, human being on this earth. My only trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but with that being said, I will say that I am seeing a significant number of people following Trump, and also, like you had mentioned, even this alternative news, these alternative news sources disseminating information. Now, you have been exceedingly excellent at saying, is this disinformation? And that has stuck in my brain. I've always been a question asker. Now I'm questioning every single thing, because like you said, I think we are in an active, live, in my opinion, war. And so anyway, as I sit around with these precious people that I've been working on a recall in Lincoln, Nebraska, of our mayor and our city council members, I'm asking them questions. And overwhelmingly, the majority of them are Christian Christ followers, and they are following a lot of this alternative information, but it's more the bigger entities, the bigger players in this. Could these be essentially disinformation sources? Where are they getting their sources? What is being disseminated to them? One of the things I will say, coming up with the D.C. Situation and Trump essentially calling for all of his patriots to come there, that concerns me. It sends shivers up and down my spine. Now, I think like so many others.
Did you get enough signatures on your recall?
I do not, at this very moment, know exactly. We're still tallying. But I guess the greater situation is this. She understands that there is tens of thousands of people in this city who are absolutely going to continue to follow her. We are starting a movement right here in Lincoln. So whether or not we get the necessary signatures to put on the ballot a recall for her and for city council members is almost a sidestep.
You might look at the fact of this, if you didn't get it this time. I didn't know about this until the last minute. Now, we did a show the other day, and I was going to have it up at least the day before, like 10 minutes, and I apologized because they locked me out of my own website. I cracked the code and got in, thank God. But I'll have it up before this show's up, in that order. But here's the point. I believe you can go back and recall her again. Not a problem. And I'll give you plenty of airtime and attention. And I'll hook you up with some people up there in Lincoln that I know. They're patriotic with major network. And it might help you get some attention. So don't give up and don't give in is my point.
We are not. This is only the beginning. I mean, it is only the beginning, that is for sure.
Now,
yep.
If I may, what I know, and I'm seeing a play, like Professor Paul's saying, there's the possibility of a play. Now, Joe and I discuss this, and he's adamant on this. I mean, he's like Professor Joe. Well, Whitney Webb has no relationship, has written about how we're being played, both sides. There could be the possibility. I'm looking at it on that basis. Now, here's two things that I'm aware of because of Scott Bennett, my friend, Lieutenant Scott Bennett, that worked in the building with Ed Stone, who blew the whistle, and then it got Scott arrested and everybody that worked in there. And he spent 38 and a half months as a whistleblower in U.S. prison, a lieutenant, seeking intelligence on terrorist financing. Why Snowden blows the whistle that the government was still spying on us. And they were instructed by the Congress to stop certain things, and they didn't do it. Rumsfeld, the whole key was, it was an Israeli subbed operation of the U.S. Defense Department and a bunch of Israeli operations that Scott Bennett has talked about many times, went on. Sidney Powell became his attorney. Sidney Powell is Donald Trump's attorney, not his direct attorney. She's doing it for the country. She's a former prosecutor, U.S. attorney, and military. Now, she's got the proof and evidence, and she's already filed in court. It's already been kicked out by the three stooges. Not kicked out, they wouldn't even answer it. Now, there was supposedly a defense intelligence report from the first election to investigate it by defense intelligence. And the second election to monitor it, it was supposed to be out last Friday. It hadn't been out as far as I know. I don't think it's going to come out. Now, General Flynn, who is a friend of Otis Johnson, I introduced and told Bennett to get in touch with Flynn direct through Sydney. That happened, folks, a while back. The word was, yeah, I know Stu Webb. He was a friend of my good friend, Otis Johnson. It opened up doors. Scott Bennett has given testimony for over 6 weeks that I was aware of a while back pertaining to a bigger picture. A former U.S. prosecutor, a former prosecutor who's a friend of mine that they tried to murder recently in a car crash. Her boss, a U.S. senator on the Judiciary Committee, sent a letter to Bill Barr for the purpose of an independent prosecutor to be appointed to investigate things that have been covered up in the past that the U.S. Senate judiciary has and can prove. Bill Barr did not respond to that. That was over 2 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago. He got fired shortly thereafter. We'll go further. January the 6th, now, General Flynn, Sidney Powell, Scott Bennett, a former senator, former prosecutors, are all involved with Sidney that I'm aware of to put people at a little bit more comfort for a moment. And we could be being played. January the 6th is a very significant date coming up, like Friday was, and no report is shown up by U.S. military yet. January the 6th. All secretaries of states of all the entire states of the Union 50 have to put their signature with their official stamp saying that Biden won the election. So all you stupid idiots out there, make my day, yippee-ki-yay, because that's your deadline. And you governors have to put your stamp on it, and all you voter frauders that were in charge of the voting stuff have to put your stamp on it. Then your asses are cooked, in my opinion, based on my knowledge of what's really going on and seeing the bigger picture. And I think then we're going to see some indictments between January the 6th and January the 20th. We might even see where Donald Trump signs the Insurrection Act, declares martial law because the election was stolen. You're not going to see the troops going into the streets of America, because they won't do that. They won't turn against the American people. 8 out of 10 of them have already proved that. With the sheriffs in Virginia, a few months back, and the standoff over lockdown. Now, I believe that's the order of how things are going to go down, and a lot of public officials will be arrested. Donald Trump will remain president of the United States. But if we're double-crossed, and he's the other stooge on the other side, and he isn't working for me, I don't know about the rest of you listening or my guests, but something's going to happen on January the 20th. Stu Webb's going to become that former United States Marine activated, and I'm going to solve the frigate problem along with a ton of others who have already said that's going to happen. If they think they're going to remove him from office, and we've been stooges, and he sets himself aside, Paul, we've been double stooges. If not, we've still been stooged. I haven't given up on him because of people that I've named and other things that I'm aware of. I haven't given up on him totally. But we got a big problem coming January the 20th.
Stu, that is an impressive, efficacious argument that there is food around the corner. And the food around the corner, of course, is a song back from our childhood where you were always promised around the next corner that there would be what you wanted or that need met. And I'm humble enough to acknowledge that with God, all things are possible, but this is going to require a huge intervention.
I waited for 38 and a half years. January the 20th, my party begins, one way or another. And I know the American people are thinking the same thing I am. Now, there's 80 million Trump supporters. There's 150 million true patriots in this country. And whether they know Jesus Christ or not, that's hard for me to go out here and take care of business. Because I was trained, you don't bring back prisoners. And if that day has to come, it's time the swamp is drained, is my point. Okay? It will be drained on the 20th, one way or another. It'd be done by your government once and for all these promises over the years that hasn't happened, and the Hildebeests and the Bushes and the Clintons and the Obamas are still walking the streets as always. Come January the 20th, I've talked to too many people. Even Oath Keepers are saying it. Everybody are saying it now. January the 20th is an important date. The swamp has to be drained.
Hey guys, this is your 20-minute warning. We are going to stop at 51 minutes. And Stu,
I won't say any more. I want you two, the three of you, to conclude this thing, Paul.
I agree, because I just want to point out, I know one of the things that we don't do is take separate subjects and analyze them. Sometimes, for instance, secret societies, which would include everything from Skull and Bones to the Freemasons to the Jesuits, and we probably ought to spend a show doing that element of how does all this contribute to the deception that runs the world. The world runs on deception. It's all Jesuit theater. It's all learning against learning. It's all, you got to go 180. The other thing that we haven't probably focused on exclusively enough is the Grins technologies. We've done some shows that certainly pick up on the Grins technologies, but maybe we need to do that on a structural systemic show. But given that there are so many moving parts, let's just focus today on what are we looking at between now and January the 6th. And my caveat, my warning is always, hey, I know what the Russians said they were going to do with the Gray Terror and the Overture, and essentially the Gray Terror is they're going to infiltrate, and the Overture is we're going to expose all the traitors. Now, the one thing about the Gray Terror and the Overture, it's pretty simple to see the Gray Terror, but that they could not have done the Gray Terror without people at the top of the USSA government saying, at the top, they've all been in on it together. You don't infiltrate like they did. If we had leadership at the top that didn't want Gray Terror, we wouldn't have Gray Terror. And now we are to the Overture. Now, the Overture is a little bit mischievous because you expose all these people. And my biggest concern on Trump has always been his associations. You know, he's good buddies with Epstein. He's good buddies with Clinton. He's good buddies with even Heinz Kissinger. Yeah, Heinz Kissinger, great guy. Well, and now I'm supposed to believe he's taken away Heinz Kissinger's security clearance, as if he has the power to do that. I mean,
Paul. That did happen. I am aware of that. There were 10 of them. He got rid of the Secretary of Defense for not doing his job when he told him to send the troops in to close down Seattle and Washington. I'm aware of a few things. Now, the Defense Department got cleaned out after the election, fired him, got rid of the stooge. He got rid of two others directly underneath him, and they cleaned the clearances of 10 people, include Henry Kissinger, who bailed him out after my ex-witch doctor's father bankrupted him in Atlantic City along with Bush. But Kissinger bailed him out because of what he did. They steal from their own people. That's what they did with him. Now, that was his connection. And the fact that, yes, he entertained a lot of people. I'm aware of a few things about him. There's two sides on this equation. He is a Mason. That says a lot. But there's a satanic level came in from the Scottish Rite. That was the Bushes, the Milvins, that crowd. He didn't have that. General Flynn was one of the people that pushed him after Obama fired Flynn, who was trying to clean it up with other people like Otis Johnson. I'm aware of a few things. Now, you know, and I know, that there's 13 above the president. They're the Council of 12, the Satanists. They're devil-possessed, fallen angel-possessed, that control the government and control most of the agencies of our government, folks. As Otis used to tell me, there's 200,000 of them registered with the NSA, Stu. They call them aliens, the U.S. government does. This is top secret shit, folks. Top secret. They're aliens. And you're right, Stu, about that cloning base you brought to my attention. They cloned over 10 million people since 1948, Hope, Arkansas, when they brought the Nazis over and taught them how to clone. Because Adolf Hitler made the first pact with the devil in many years. And we've advanced. And we made the agreement in 52 with the devil. The fallen angels. The fallen angels. The aliens. The 1952 to 2012 agreement extended. And who has the alien base next to Bluffdale, Utah, which monitors and controls everything for your United States government and Israel, with the trap back door of Inslaw, which is Promise Software, which is now called Intel. This is all top secret stuff, folks. Six floors below ground of artificial intelligence beyond anything. They listen to everything you say. They know every text you make. They know everything you do. And they can fry you by your own telephone unless you pull the battery out the chip. The older models, you can do those. The new ones, you got to shut them off and encase them in a bag of lead, which you buy off the internet for $30. Then you can't be tracked. Then you can't be tracked. You can't be radiated by these animals. Can't be touched. Does Donald Trump know all this? I don't know. But we got a former general that was given a presidential pardon so he could advise the president once again that he couldn't do after proving his innocence with Sidney Powell. Is there a war going on? I believe there is. I believe he's a one-man operation he's been screwed over by little that female. Oh God.
Kelly Conway.
Yeah. You know,
we've got to get over to high.
What we have, and I'll pass it in here. We have the fallen angel alien problem, folks. And they made treaties with our government. And our government officials know this at the top. We are screwed. That's the problem we have. Fallen angel problem. Go ahead.
Heidi and Jeffrey, you guys are some of the best active listeners I know. We have really given a tour de force here of our understanding of the issues. Where are you guys at with what you're hearing? Because I think you're representative of the audience. I think you can kind of speak for the listener. What do we have? Where are we at? I mean, what does the elevator speech look like to you guys at this point?
Well, I mean, on behalf of just being, you know, essentially kind of thrust into a leadership role in terms of our, you know, our community of roughly 250,000 plus citizens, you know, it just took one person to get the ball rolling with the recall. But overwhelmingly, it's been a grassroots effort. It has not been well funded. It's been, my point being is this: people want to do something, they just don't know how to take this bigger picture on. There's so many people that are fearful if they do even put their name on a petition, it becomes public record, and they are so fearful of being found out by anyone that is no one trusts our government.
False illusions that appear real. Fear.
Yes. Yes. So ultimately, in my heart of hearts, and I wept this morning because people came to me and shared their innermost fears, their innermost concerns, the things that they are standing up alone. They feel all alone because, of course, we're supposed to be all hiding in our homes from the COVID boogeyman. People are separated, and we had a counselor come in this morning, and this gentleman said, "Do you understand why we are in isolation? It is to control us. It is to it's narcissism 101, and the gaslighting that goes along with it." But he said the mask, the isolation are absolutely meant to manipulate and control people mentally into submission. And then the controller of that submission, i.e. the deep state, then they come in and they become the saviors. Just like the biggest slap in the face, every American gets $600. What the F? I mean, that is nothing more than a complete mental way to just to kick the legs out of everyone and make them feel absolutely like the biggest piece of trash. That's what this is. We had a police officer come in this morning. This young man, bold, on the force, since June, comes in to sign. He goes, "If I don't stand up now, what's going to happen tomorrow?" That's the heartbeat of what every single person that I listen to, they're like, "What can we do now?" Everyone is desperate to do something now. That, I think, is probably outside of sharing the gospel, that is the next step. We collectively, as leaders, as listening to Sue and Professor Paul, listening to you two, who have a treasure trove of historical information, understanding who the players are, now it's time to develop the plan. We have to equip the listeners. We have to equip the citizens of the United States of America to take action now. We don't have time. We don't have time to continue to wait for tomorrow, put your hope into what is going to go, you know, what's going to happen next. No, we're done. We've got to take action now, because if we don't, what we are going to be up against is beyond what anyone can ever imagine. I give it back to you guys.
Joffrey.
Yeah, well, you know, at the level that the water cooler talk happens with, you know, a lot of it is let's make sure you contact your congressman. Make sure you talk to your community leaders. Let them know. I think we hear a lot of that kind of shove it up the flagpole thing and expect a result or an answer from that. And, you know, that's good, and that's all good. But when you analyze where that's going and who's sitting at the top and what influence is already taking place out of our control. You know, you have Einstein being driven around by a Chinese spy for, what, 20 years. You've got Falwell with Fang Fang, and she's Chinese, and she's grabbing secrets. And then you learn that there's, what, 2,000 names floating around out there of people who are under Chinese influence operating that we haven't totally heard of and disclosed either. You kind of think, okay, is the deck a little bit stacked at the top, and we are groveling around in the baby pool, and we're never going to get in the deep end or the big pool of water to swim in that sense, because we're fascinated with the little splashing that's going on in the baby pool. And I think we're in that kind of a situation where we really don't, we can make small waves, but the big waves are being made way over our head. And I guess you have to look at, you know, how are some of these bigger deals cut? How are these bigger deals swinging the direction where we think we live in a republic that has been handed over to maybe somebody else? I mean, you really think that we have a Supreme Court when they won't even listen to one state appealing to another state as far as challenge? I mean, when that all gets chopped up, dissected, and falls on deaf ears, what do you have for your nation and the stability of the nation? So we fight around and grovel around at our level, and that's allowable, and they allow us to do that. And yet the decisions that are being made are horrific when it comes to our freedoms and our resolve and how we're going to live our lives and our children's lives. And it's almost like we're on two separate planes. And when you separate those two, it's two entirely disconnected prisms. I mean, I guess that's how I would say the water cooler talk probably is, hey, we've been unplugged. We need to plug back in. And if we do plug in, who do we plug into? Where do we even go for justice? Is it just us? You know, like they say. So I think that's part of the consternation. And the disappointment is the frustration level of hitting your head against the wall, trying to do things the way we're told to do, and yet what results come from that? You know, ultimately, where do you see any difference? And who is a difference maker? And who can we tug on their, who can we tug on their chain and say, look, make a difference, make a difference?
The difference, Jeff, I think we all could be in agreement, is we have to use the power and authority of Jesus Christ,
yes,
with prayer.
Amen.
Against the enemy. We have to do,
yes,
this now. And I mean, people across this land needs to get real with themselves, because this is a cleansing that we're getting ready to go through. And it's going to be like, there won't be a rapture, in my opinion. It's going to be like a different timeline we're going to be living in, versus the real evil that's down here. There's going to be a transition. God's going to take care of business. But we have to keep in prayer continuously, asking Him to cleanse us up. I send warring angels out. I ask Him for those to go against the enemy consistently. He fights back. Oh, tears me up. But hey, it's part of the game. Christ died for me. I'm going to die for Him.
Amen.
Maybe that's a good point for us to close out this show on. If people want to know in Scripture what Stu just said scripturally, go to Luke 9:23-24. And essentially it's Jesus talking about if you want to overcome and have life in eternity, you'll take up your cross and follow him. And the real important question that everyone needs to answer is, does Jesus know who I am? Not do I know Jesus? Because the strong delusion, as a matter of fact, I'd love to do a show with you guys on what we think the strong delusion is. Is the strong delusion a bunch of different forces? Is it the force of chaos? Is it something in the spiritual realm that manifests in the physical? I mean, I could go on with the questions, but anyway, we are at 50 minutes, and I appreciate everyone taking the time, and we are so grateful to all the listeners, and I think maybe tomorrow we do another show, and we can pick up on ideas, too, if you hear anything from the listeners that they want us to talk about, we can do that.
Let's plan on that. Who wants closing prayer?
If you don't mind, I'll just add something that somebody can close in prayer. But this is Zephaniah 1:12. And it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. And, you know, to those who shake their fists that God doesn't do anything, he's not going to help us. He doesn't do good, he doesn't do bad. I think that's the warning. And I think as you guys evoke that what we need to be concentrating on and believing in is the power that's greater than ourselves. And yet we have the ability to turn that power on and help it in the circumstances we're in. And that's why we're told to pray and uplift each other with holy hands raised, because, I mean, that's what gets it done. You know, they walked around seven times around the city of Jericho, and it fell. Now, they didn't have to do a thing, just walk around and believe. They blew their trumpets. You know, it was God who caused the walls to fall. And it's going to be God that causes these barriers to fall. And God who lifts up one and puts down another. It's not going to be us, but we are asked to participate. So I would just encourage each other and ourselves and our audience that, you know, the danger of being stagnant. And we're warned about that in the book of Revelation about the lukewarm church. That's not the place we want to be. So now's the time to pull up our big boy pants and big girl pants and get ready for probably a battle that isn't that far away. I would just say draw courage from that. So, yeah, go ahead, guys.
I'll close this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for our listeners, those that hear our words. We ask in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, that you reveal yourself to us. We need, of course, to be humble, and we need to be receptive to your word and to your ways. And of course, that means we need to search the scriptures, and we need to pray. We need to live prayerfully. We need to live powerfully. We need to live courageously, and we know that all of those things are possible if we have a relationship with you. We know that you desire fellowship. We know that you can heal us of everything that ails us. There are many in our audience that have health problems, that have financial problems, that have family issues. We ask that you resolve those, that you bless us, and that we honor you not only in this moment, but in every moment, in every second, because you are our Creator, you are the King of Kings, and you have a plan for us. And we know you will reveal yourself, and you will give us direction that we need to go. And we ask for your divine protection. And we also ask you to bind or confuse everything that opposes your will. So we know that you can do that in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus. And in closing, we ask that together, when two or more are gathered, when we ask of you to be our Savior, to provide us with salvation, that you manifest your will in the physical, so in the spiritual and in the world beyond this, in eternity, that we're all going to get to see you and be with you and know you. Amen.
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 Thank you guys so much. Love you, and God bless you, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Heidi.
Uh-huh.
Thank Thanks,
you.
Jeff.
Bye-bye.
See you guys. You best too. See Paul, Heidi.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care, Stu.
Take care.